Let's enjoy today's message by Sam Adeyemi.
Lord, we thank you because there is grace for humility in this house tonight. In Jesus' name. I want to give us a portrait through Christ. I sense that God is redefining greatness and leadership and success for our nation and for our world. God's way is not man's way. Man's way is self-promotion and it's competition. But God's way is completely different. Isaiah chapter 42, and you have some description of Christ there. We have the Spirit of Christ. Isaiah 42 from verse 1 says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth." Amen? Amen. He will not be out for self-promotion. And truly, when you check what Christ did and said, he always directed attention towards God. "The works that I do, it is not me, it is the Father in me that does them." John 5:19, it's one of the most humble statements you could hear from someone as powerful as Christ. He said the Son can do nothing by himself, but whatever he sees the Father doing. For the Father loves the Son and shows him whatever he himself does. In verse 30, he says, "I judge nothing by myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just." Remarkable. When you describe your success like that, you are directing the credit to where it really belongs. God warned Israel in Deuteronomy 8, "Beware, lest when you get to that land that God has promised you, you eat bread without scarcity, you possess vineyards you did not plant, you have houses you didn't build, you eat and you are satisfied and bless the name of the Lord your God." He said, "Beware, lest you begin to say to yourself, by the power of my own hand, I have gotten this." That's human nature. Before breakthrough came, they were warned. It's human nature. It's human nature for people to give you credit and for you to accept it, instead of for you to deflect it and to direct it to where it really belongs. It is God. Paul had to ask the Corinthians, "What do you have that you have not received?" He said, "If you received it, why are you behaving as if you didn't receive it?" That's it. In God's system, we are not achievers. We are only receivers. What have you that you have not received? Whatever it is that you have given the credit for getting the result you got, there are people doing it better than you who may not be getting the same results. It is God's grace that matters. And we have to acknowledge that there are people praying more than you are praying. There are people fasting more than you are fasting. If things are working for you, give God the glory. Before you begin to compare yourself to others, it's remarkable how people can have children and make life miserable for those who don't. That was what Penina did. When this thing turned around, Hannah said, "Don't speak with such arrogance. Our God is a God of knowledge. By him, actions are weighed. He lifts up one, puts down the other one. He appoints kings, he removes kings. It's all God. Amen. So, Jesus was not going to push himself out, to do self-promotion. He said, the works that I do, they're the ones that are my witnesses. God is the one who is the witness. And the Bible says here that a bruised reed he will not break, and he will not quench a smoking flax. See, the reed is already bruised. You are breaking it. See, where you have a culture that is built on pride, the powerful make life miserable for the weak. Take advantage of people who don't have as much money, who don't have influence. The most vulnerable people, you can see them in the environment or in the society. They're down and they're out. People with physical disabilities, women because of their physical frailty, children because of their their level or stage of growth. But when the Jesus system steps in, interestingly, in the Jesus system, we do not break bruised reeds, we mend them. We strengthen them. We empower the weak. Where in the world system people will compete, we complete. We complement. We understand that the reason why we're in people's lives is to make up for what they lack. We understand that we're members of the same body. We're children of the same father. We're created by the same God. The result from verse 4, he will not fail, not be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth. That is, people who have humility want fairness. And the coastlands shall wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives bread to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, and that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Someone say amen.
Amen.
In God's economy, the first usually become the last, and the last become the first. You always have rearrangements, but the key factor is humility. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. As we pray tonight, we bear in mind that humility is the direct opposite of pride. Pride always has this sense of importance, of being more important than others. When humility kicks in, it takes away the sin of comparison. Pride and love can never work together. You know why? Love turns people into objects to compete against. Love is looking for who to empower. So pride and love never work together. Humility is a product of love. So when you read 1 Corinthians 13, it says that love is not puffed up with pride. You can't love a person and be competing against the person. Jesus didn't come to compete with us. He came to help us. Amen. And when people around him didn't understand him and wanted to deal with him, he did not fall into the temptation of proving who he was and hurting people. Humility. Humility is trusting God for outcomes. Putting our absolute trust in God for outcomes. So when people want to compete against you, you allow them. Thank you, Lord. That's what Jesus taught us. He said, someone is trying to prove his self of sense of importance and to prove he's superior to you and slaps you on the right cheek. Where the equation is pride, you slap him back. You even the equation. If he slaps you and you slap him, then you are level. If he slaps you and you don't slap him, he's superior. So to let him know, to put him in his place and let him know he's not superior, you slap him back. That evens the equation. If he slaps you once and you slap him, you give him two slaps at once, then you are superior. So what did Jesus say? He slaps you once, give him the opportunity to take the second one. Make him feel good. If that's what's going to make him feel good, make him feel really, really good. But Jesus knew that it would take a madman to say, I'm going to compete against you. On your mark, set, go. And then the person begins to run and you are not running. If you were the one running, what would you do? You stop. He's not running. There's no competition. You have won. Take the medal and go home. That's humility for us. It says, someone wants to take your coat, give him the cloak. He wants you to go 1 mile. He says, when you are done with the one, tell him, I can add another one. If that would satisfy you. No competition. Only, you know why? My promotion is not based on what I achieve relative to what you achieved. My promotion is based on what I achieve relative to what God wants me to achieve. Winning over you does not necessarily mean the fulfillment of my destiny. In fact, the reality is the fulfillment of my destiny is in serving people and it's in helping people. So competition, I'm out of it. It's interesting. So humility makes us to trust God for outcomes. When we don't trust God like that, we manipulate. We find it difficult to obey God's instructions. When we obey partially, still creating opportunities for us to work out something. It's pride, only pride, that will make a human being to think that his or her idea may be better than God's. Only pride. That's the way God sees it. That was Saul's problem. He could not trust God completely for the outcome. God says, go. Wipe out that whole area. Take it, and you must not bring anything back. Don't take any dime. He couldn't trust God for the outcomes. We bear in mind also that humility is a fruit of the Spirit. Humility is part of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. In other words, the kind of humility we're talking about is not a product of human ability. It is birthed by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be asking for the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We're going to be asking for the help of the Holy Spirit. The days of, you'll be surprised, some couples compete. Husband and wife, in competition, in the crazy problems, siblings. Brothers and sisters, compete. It just breaks up a family. People working in the same organization, competing. And they are supposed to be working towards the fulfillment of the same vision. Okay? It breaks up everything. But for us, humility is a fruit of the Spirit. So we will ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. So I'll end from where we started. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So one of the characteristics of humility, submission. Submission. Accepting the fact that you cannot be number one in every area. You can't. See, sometimes there's that false impression that since they say I am CEO or they say I'm the chairman, then I have to be number one in every area. Sorry. In some aspects of your work, some of your subordinates will be superior to you. One of my friends who is a medical doctor was surprised. It was during his youth service, or was he doing his house job, and a military general, a former president, came for medical treatment. It was the first time he was meeting the man live, you know. So he was surprised that the man was saying sir to him. Sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Sir, you need to take this. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. He was surprised. I said, no surprise. When it comes to this issue of health, you are the general. I was about to board a flight, and the pilot came to the door. As I was walking towards the door, and greeted me, you know, and said, Pastor Sai, I'm a member of Daystar. I said, wow, Captain, that's awesome. Nice to meet you. I said, that's right. He said, Sai, in church, you are my leader. He said, but today on this flight. I said, I submit to your leadership. I can't fly a plane. See? You can't be number one in every area. And the way God created us human beings, every human being is number one in one area. So it takes humility to accept it. And to have enough sense to leave your number one and line up behind other people when you come to other situations or circumstances. You younger, submit to the older ones. Only God knows how many people have frustrated their journey to greatness through rebellion and disobedience to authority. There's just that thing. And it's the sin nature. It is Satan's nature. Just that thing that makes us want to feel, what's it? Who does he think he is? What even makes him superior to me? People make a mistake sometimes that just because in terms of title or position, someone is positioned ahead of you means that the person is more valuable than you are. It doesn't. Sometimes those arrangements, in fact, most times those arrangements are temporary. In 5 years' time, the whole arena will have changed. Am I right? So, it's good to accept where God has put us part-time. Your parent is your parent. End of story. Unfortunately, that's one thing God didn't give you the opportunity to choose. If you had the choice, I know. So I will not see some of us here today. God didn't give you the opportunity. So your parents are your parents. Whatever it is, you become. So, but especially at that early stage, one needs to listen. Your pastor is your pastor. Your boss in the office is your boss in the office. Submit for the moment. Take whatever it is that is coming. And your boss's misbehavior is not an excuse for your failure. David had a terrible boss. He had the opportunity to kill his boss, but did not. Hear what he says. When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you when? In due time, sir. In due time. And sometimes your due time may still be in 3 years' time. In due time. Each person's timing is different. You pluck a fruit before it's ripe, your teeth will ache. They'll be set on edge. You'll eat it sour. It won't be sweet, unripe. Some breakthroughs are unripe. There are positions you will struggle to get, but you won't be ready for those positions. Accept where God's put you per time. In due time. Jesus was humble, sir. Because I think about him. By the age of 12, he already told the Pharisees, "Don't you know I must be about my father's business?" So he knew what his calling was. Yet he sat down in the synagogue. And for decades, the priests were preaching about him, the Messiah. And they didn't know who he was. And I've asked myself, if I was him, and I sat down in the service, and the priest was preaching about me, and probably even got some of the interpretation of scripture wrong, would I be able to sit down Sunday after Sunday and not one day walk up to the pastor and ask him, "Sir, you were teaching about the Messiah. If you see him, sir, will you recognize him?" If he says, "Well, I have some idea, the Bible says this, he said, "Okay, sir, no problem." And I'll walk away. I'll ask him that question like 20 times. Then one day, he said, "Pastor, I that speak to thee, I am he." So the next time you are teaching about the Messiah, you look in my direction, I give you a smile. That's me. For the vision is for an appointed time. Though it tarries, do what? Wait for it. It will come. It will not tarry. Wait. Humility includes waiting. Being patient. And waiting for God's time. Your time for promotion is here. This is the kind of a year where we have to be very sensitive. Very sensitive. Sensitive to move when the Holy Spirit says move. And to stop when the Holy Spirit says stop. And those two instructions can change within 2 hours. It's humility to submit to God's way. But finally in verse 7 it says, casting all your care upon him, why he cares for you. And that's really the big deal. That sometimes when you are close to promotion, when you're close to, when you, sometimes you sense like, "I'm better than this. I'm bigger than this. I'm not supposed to be in this position." Like Joseph. But that you can wait and wait. And I'm telling you, it's sweet when God does it. The one thing I know is this, it will always surprise you how easy he does it. Within a short time, everything changes. what looked so difficult before becomes so simple, you wonder what happened. People who didn't know about you before, within a short time, they can hear about you. 24 hours, too long. Those are the kind of breakthroughs I see this year. God made breakthroughs. God made stories changing within a short time. But it will be after we have passed the test. Satan says, don't you know what the scriptures say? He will give his angels charge over you. Jump. He was testing Jesus for pride. Jump from the pinnacle of the temple. At the time when the temple is very busy, you say you are the Messiah now. So just jump like Superman. And just land and let everybody see you have anointing. See, it will be easy. Everybody will just follow you. I mean, everything will just change. Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You don't jump when God has not asked you to jump. That's not what they use the anointing for. They use it to do God's will. The fact that you can do it is not proof you should do it. And more importantly, you should not do it under Satan's instruction. If you won't be fully submitted to God, you will abuse the resources and opportunities that he's bringing. So this year is a special year. This year, the Holy Spirit will help us. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. There's a new kind of greatness, new definition for success. People will compete with you. You will not compete with them, and they still won't be able to catch up with you. Some will be threatened by your success. They will want to take you out. Like Saul chased David. He never caught him. They won't catch you. When you have put your trust in God and he's the one lifting you, no one can put you down. Humility is a fruit of the Spirit. So just one more prayer point. Holy Spirit, beyond my natural ability, help me to stay humble. The capacity is already there. The Holy Spirit is in you. But let's say that prayer. Help me to remain humble. Help me to see people and to see things the way you see them. Yes, Lord. Help me to see myself the way you see me. Help me to see other people the way you see them. And give me grace to serve people, not to compete with them. Holy Spirit of God, help me to stay humble this year. Help me to stay humble. Give me the capacity to manage greatness. Give me capacity to handle promotion. Give me capacity to handle power. Give me capacity to handle large amounts of money, huge resources. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. So I will not use power to revenge. Help me. So I will not use wealth to dominate and to intimidate others. Help me, Holy Spirit. So I will not use position to oppress. He will open the eyes of the blind. Lord, give me capacity to serve. The greater I become, the more power I have, the more money I have, the higher my position. Lord, help me to use everything you give me to serve others. You showed me an example. You washed the feet of your disciples. So, Lord, I ask that you give me the anointing, the grace, the power of the Holy Spirit to use power to serve others, to use power to wash the dirty parts of people's lives, to use power
to meet needs in people's lives. Help me not to use money or position to determine my esteem. Help me not to use a title to measure my self-esteem. Help me to use power to serve. Deliver me from the tendency to revenge. In Jesus' name we pray. Finally, Jesus described a scenario, and he was referring to Proverbs 25. He said, when you come to a party, don't go and sit in front. Stay at the back. He said, it's a shameful thing for everyone to have arrived and for them to realize you were sitting in someone else's seat, and for them to come and take you from the front and to take you to the back in the presence of everyone. He said, it is better for them to take you from the back and to the front. That's what I see happening this year. Lord, this year, give me grace to stay where you have put me. And in Jesus' name, when my time comes, take me from the back to the front. Go ahead and pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, give me grace to stay where I should stay per time. Give me grace to not try to impress anyone. Give me grace to know where I should be, to not do beyond my measure. And then, Heavenly Father, when my moment comes, when my season comes, you took Joseph from prison, took him to the palace. Nobody could stop him. Take me from the back to the front. David was a shepherd boy. You took him from following sheep to shepherd your people Israel. Take me from my little business, my small job, my lowly place, to the place where I handle big things. Take me from the back, for it is better for it to be said to you, come up higher, than for them to take you lower in the eyes of the prince whom your eyes have seen. Lord, it is better. Let me hear those words, come up higher. When my due moment comes, my season, take me higher. In the name of Jesus, take me from the back to the front. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Will you lift your hands to the Lord as we pray? Lord God of heaven, I see greatness in this house. It's our season of supernatural promotion. Amen. But Paul the apostle told Timothy, don't put a novice in office, lest he being lifted up with pride, he being puffed up with pride, he fall into condemnation. Lord, when you prepare a place for us, you prepare us for the place. We receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We receive grace for meekness. Moses was the meekest of all the men on the earth. That's why you could do all those things you did through him. If it was someone else, they would have become deputy God to mankind. But then, Lord, when his fellow ministers began to complain against him, you showed up on his behalf. God of heaven, we receive grace for meekness. This year, teach us not to fight our battles by ourselves. If Joseph was not humble, if he was in competition with his brothers, if he was reacting to what they did, he would have killed them when he handled power. Heavenly Father, whatever would make us to misuse power, whatever will make us to abuse promotion by the power of the Holy Ghost, deliver us. We declare tonight we are crucified with Christ. The part, that thing in us that has potential for arrogance and for measuring oneself against other people, we declare it has died with Christ. The resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, that power is at work in us. At work in our minds. At work in our emotions. In the name of Jesus. Deliver us from every temptation for pride. Every temptation to show off. Deliver us from every temptation to take the credit for what you have done. In the name of Jesus. Lord, the meek shall inherit the earth. Being filled with the Spirit and being ready to handle greatness, I receive for each one here supernatural promotion. I declare divine lifting, change of status, radical change of status. In the name of Jesus, mind-blowing ascension to a higher level, access to resources we have never handled before. In the name of Jesus. Some got promotion before but lost promotion because of pride. Tonight, Heavenly Father, is a night of restoration. Whatever was lost to pride, because we have disconnected from Satan and connected to the second Adam, and our redemption is by the blood of Christ, I prophesy restoration. Restoration of opportunities. Restoration of promotion. Restoration of relationships and divine connections. In the name of Jesus. Lord, promotion does not come from the east. It does not come from the west. It does not come from the south. You are the judge. Judge righteously in our favor. Thank you, Lord. So I prophesy on each one in the name of Jesus. As you have chosen to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that mighty hand has lifted you. Amen. You are lifted. Amen. Circumstances will work together to prove the prophecy. Amen. Someone will remember you. Amen. For good. Amen. For promotion. Amen. For a change of status. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. The good news begin from now. I prophesy the letters are coming in. Emails are coming in. Text messages coming in. Phone calls coming in. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The testimonies begin now. In Jesus' mighty name. Someone say a powerful amen. Amen. Shake hands with seven people. Tell them, I'm promoted.